and welcome to the Sports Info Solutions Baseball Podcast. I'm Mark Simon. Thank you for joining us. So a cool thing that we do here that no one else does is track defensive play in the minor leagues with great intensity. It's cool stuff. It allows us to identify players who are going to be pretty good once they reach the majors. Looking through the numbers this season, one of the best players in the minors was shortstop Noah Miller. He currently plays for the Cedar Rapids Colonels in the Twins organization. We tracked him down. We had a good conversation about how he plays D. We also talked to Nassim Nunez, who's with Pensacola, Marlins AA affiliate. He's a little behind Miller stat-wise, but if you watch him, you're guaranteed to be impressed. He was the MVP of the Futures game. And our VP of baseball, Bobby Scales, joins us to dissect what they said. Enjoy. Noah Miller is a shortstop prospect in the Twins organization, currently in High A with the Cedar Rapids Colonels. He's number one among shortstops in our minor league defensive run saved stat. The writer that covers Cedar Rapids says Noah's the best defensive shortstop that's come through Cedar Rapids in 25 years. Hey, Noah, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well.
Cool. Noah's also the younger brother of Owen Miller, who plays for the Brewers in a utility role. He's from Wisconsin. And I always look for a before-they-were-pros kind of thing to talk to someone about before we dive in and talk shop. Do you have any stories of great defense or a kind of play that you made from when you were a kid or you were in high school or anything like that?
One of my favorite plays was probably just like when the guy's on second and he's trying to take the bag in front of you and, you know, it's hit to short and you turn, spin, throw to third and you catch him off guard and throw him out. That was probably always a fun one to make, just kind of catches guys off guard.
And then was that like a specialty of yours?
Yeah, that and probably going up the middle and like the spin throw. So
oh, nice. Okay, so I'm gonna ask you about that in a second because you do rate particularly well on balls hit kind of that way. But first, a couple other things first. Who are the shortstops and the second baseman that you watched growing up?
Honestly, like kind of just all over the big leagues. Like I was always a Brewers fan growing up, but even like Andrelton Simmons, when he was with the Braves, I always loved watching him, just kind of a defensive wizard. And then Brandon Crawford.
Oh, nice. He's the favorite of a lot of people, although mostly those that are on the West Coast. So you would have to have stayed up to watch him a little bit.
Honestly, it was more just like seeing his highlights on MLB Network in the morning. A quick pitch.
Yeah, makes sense. He's very, very good, certainly, particularly in the prime of his career. So I've been asking coaches this lately. I'll ask it to you just for a player's perspective. What does the idea of defensive excellence mean to you?
Defensive excellence means just being the best possible defender that you can be and getting to every ball that you can and making every play that you possibly can. I mean, that's probably the easiest way to describe it.
So what are some of the valuable lessons you've learned defensively, particularly since you've gotten drafted?
Pitchers love when you're good at defense. Pitchers love that. So just the more plays that you can make, the more that guys like having you behind them and the more support that you get when you're back there. So
nice. Okay. So we were talking before about the spin. And we did note when I was looking at your defensive run save total for the minor leagues, your numbers going to your right are all right. They're good, but going to your left, they're like off the charts good. And I was curious how that has developed for you over time.
Honestly, I think it's just been countless reps. I've always kind of been a good defender my whole life, but like when I was a kid, that's just how it is. I just always very comfortable going to my left. It's just that, you know, having the eye behind the glove kind of, that's probably the biggest thing. It's a little bit easier to do that on a forehand. And it's a little bit easier to go like two hands from there. And then just stay kind of down low and throw from a lower arm slot, which is kind of like I like to throw from all different arm slots. So that's probably why it's just easier to stay like lower to the ground down there instead of, you know, popping up and then throwing over the top that some guys kind of force it a little bit, which could cause you to kind of come off the ball a little bit and miss it or like miss that hop. But I just think being able to read the hop with your eye behind your glove is a little bit easier going to your left than going to your right.
Are you someone, I've heard people use the phrase that they count hops? Are you someone that does that?
No, I wouldn't say I count hops. It's just more of like I kind of try to anticipate hops. So like I try to like read, like if I see a ball take two in the grass or something and I just try to imagine where it's going to kind of hit on the dirt. And then I set myself up there. So no, I don't really count hops.
I'm going to share my screen and I'm going to show you a play. So that's all right.
Yeah, that was against Kevin Mata from the South Bend Cubs.
All right, so walk us through it, because that's what we saw. What the viewer, the listener can't see is a play deep in the hole where you didn't do the Jeter jump throw kind of thing. You did the dive, and I'm going to be in short left field, and I'm going to just chuck it across and nail you anyway kind of play.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, I mean, and I remember he hit that ball pretty hard, and it was like kind of just like a one step or like two step, and I'm diving for this ball. So I dove for it, and at that point, it's just kind of get up as fast as you can, and you got to get rid of that ball. That's the only way that you're making that play. I'm making that play. The only way I'm getting him out is if I get rid of him as fast as possible. So, yeah, that's kind of what I remember from that play. It's just he hit it hard, and I had to dive. I left my feet exactly as you said. I was in the grass in left field and just made a good throw. So that was pretty much it. I mean, I know he was the fast runner too, so when he hit it hard, I kind of knew I had a chance to make the play instead of it being like a softer one far away. It was just more of like a one step and dive and then bam, just get rid of it.
Give us a play that you particularly liked other than that one.
So there's a play early in the year. I think Pearson Ohl was pitching for us and there was a guy on third and it was infield in and there was a ball hit like up the middle. I think it was a lefty. So I was like kind of already playing up the middle and I was going to my left. And I remember Pearson tipped it off his glove, but it like kind of came back toward me. So I had to like kind of stop, dive, spin, and throw home. And we still got the guy. That was probably my favorite play of the year.
Who have been some of the people instruction-wise that have worked with you the closest since you signed with the Twins?
For defense, probably Tucker Frawley, our infield coordinator. I mean, he's very smart. He's kind of a genius with it. He understands the game in that aspect. I really like the Twins, you know, our philosophies with infield, which is just kind of separating each play to like either one hand, two hand or backhand. And then like the different going to your left, going straight at it and going to your right. So it is kind of like just kind of individualizing different ground balls and not making every ground ball the same. It's understanding that there are different ways to go at ground balls, different angles to attack ground balls at, going back, sometimes attacking, going forward. So it's just, I would say our infield coordinator, Tucker Frawley, has definitely been the biggest help with all of that throughout my professional career.
What are some of the things that you're working on defensively?
Honestly, just trying to keep my body healthy to be able to stay on the field to play the defense that I play. I mean, I would say the biggest things are probably just increasing arm strength and increasing foot speed to increase my range. And then obviously increase the ball, like the angles that you can take on, say, that dive in the hole, where if you have a little bit stronger of an arm, you know that you can go a little bit deeper. And when you have a little bit weaker of an arm, you understand that you have to kind of cut the ball off and you don't have as much range.
Whether it's offense or defense, are there ways that you're integrating data into your game and just like information?
The problem with defensively is there isn't really much. We kind of only have like infield efficiency, which is like a team thing. So, like, until you kind of get to the big leagues, you know, you don't have Statcast or any of those, like, numbers.
I do want to talk hitting and other aspects of your game briefly. I know that you've had a rough time of it early in the season, but your offensive numbers seem to pick up a little bit in August. What are you working on with the other aspects of your game?
Just, like, hitting-wise, I mean, obviously my left-handed swing, it's been a slow, I mean, it was a slow start to the year, slow first couple months, but then I picked it up in July, had a good August, and I mean, that's kind of all you can ask for is to finish strong. I would say what I'm working on is just kind of picking the right pitches to swing at more. It's like, instead of swinging at that 1-0 changeup, low and away, why not just take that and kind of elongate your at-bat instead of just getting yourself out and rolling it over to second base. So that's probably like the big part is just like kind of understanding like situation. Like I have a very good contact skill, but sometimes it's just like, I know that I have a very good contact skill, so I swing at everything. So it's like, I don't need to do that. Yeah, so like that's probably like the biggest thing. And I've been walking a lot more too, just because of that, just not like understanding that I don't need to swing at every strike thrown to me. And then just kind of creating space a little bit. Like that's kind of just the biggest thing. It's like my mobility on my left side is a little bit different than my right side, just based on like throwing right-handed my whole life. So trying to increase my mobility with like my hips and stuff to create a little bit more space, and obviously just getting stronger and stuff too. I think that's what this offseason is going to be more into, is just being a lot more explosive and a little bit stronger to help the, you know, the exit velos and stuff and just hitting the ball harder. So
I imagine the gap between what you used to see breaking ball wise to what you've seen this year breaking ball wise is pretty big.
I mean, yeah, it's definitely a stride going from high school to professional baseball. And I mean, I'm still young. I'm 20 years old. I understand that. I see the process, and I think it's just I just gotta keep striving to be better and keep striving to get better. So
give us just to kind of close here, give us a prospect, whether it's someone you saw that pitched against you, or how about you give us one on another team and one on your own team, just a guy that really impressed you in terms of how they've played from what you've seen this year.
Corey Lewis with the knuckleball for our team. That's incredible. It's just different because I'm a little bit of a knuckleball enthusiast. I like screwing around, throwing the knuckleball and like BP and stuff. So when he like came out and I mean he throws that thing 85 miles an hour and he dominates. Like he's had an unreal year this year. And he's a really good dude. I've got to know him pretty well. So it's just like him in general, just it's incredible to watch him pitch. But then like on another team, Matt Shaw with South Bend. Really good guy. And I mean the guy can hit. Guy hit really well against us. And I mean he's just kind of a walking stick. So it's good to it was nice to see kind of what he does, just kind of his approach to the game a little bit. And it was kind of cool to watch him play. I mean, he was at Maryland, college guy. So kind of like, you know, where can I be when I'm that age and stuff? And like what he's doing at that age, like how strong he is and stuff. So it was cool to watch him play and cool to play against him. So
what's studying the game like for you?
I like to watch all my at-bats. I like to watch my plays in the field. Like if I have a good play, I kind of like to analyze it, like see how quick I get it out, like get the throw out. Not necessarily see how hard I throw, but you know how fast I can get the ball to first base, like stuff like that, like different footwork. I would say just kind of being I think the biggest thing like defensively is just learning to be adjustable. Like I think that's the biggest thing. It's like bad hops are going to happen, weird hops are going to happen. It's like ball could be going this way, hit like the wrong lip, and you got to be able to adjust. And I think, like when I do make a play that I have to adjust like that on, it's like I like to see how I do that, why I do that, like how my body kind of works in certain situations and different arm actions, like stuff like that. So I just say like watching video, yeah, looking at, I'm not a huge data guy because I don't really have that much like information to look at, but I do like to see like just analyze plays based on video and like, yeah, what I could do better if I'm a, you know, if I'm a step late on my prep step or something, or if it's just I'm slightly late, bam, I could have got to that ball. Like, I will say there is some of those, or like even like just when I do anticipate something, or like I do think I make a right before the pitch, I make a pre-pitch like step to my right, and then bam, the guy hits a ball in the hole and I make the play. It's like that's happened a couple times this year. And I think part of it is just like instinct, what pitch is being thrown, understanding that. I think that's a big part of it is guys, you know, guys are just there. They're just, okay, I'm ready, I'm prep step, but I'm more of like, I'm trying to read the swing, trying to read what pitch is coming, like different stuff like that. So that's kind of the key to it.
Your brother's got 6 years on you. He's been in the major leagues already, both with Cleveland and Milwaukee. What's it been like trying to come up the path with him doing it as well?
I mean, it's kind of been the opposite our whole lives. I've been the defensive guy. He's been the hitting guy. So it's like, it's kind of nice because in the off seasons, I'm basically teaching him how to like field and he's teaching me how to hit. So it's nice. It's 100% like been a huge impact of the game for me is like having an older brother who's been through it, who's, you know, and I don't know if you want to say he struggled, but like just me like struggling offensively a little bit. Like it's like I have a guy to talk to. I have a guy who's hitting. He was hitting 300 in the big leagues in May. So it's like different. It's nice to go to somebody and have somebody who's been through it and been in the big leagues to talk to. So, but like just teaching him defensively, it's like that's just been my thing. I've been able to teach him a little bit defensively just because he's going so many different positions. It's like you got to learn how to do that. It's almost kind of it's like an art to be a utility guy like that. It's like there's an art to it. I've only ever been a shortstop my whole life. And like even going to second base, it's hard going to second base sometimes. Just not because second base is hard, it's just different. It's just weird. It's like the angle change, the different, like just seeing the field is just different for me when I do that, just because I've played so much shortstop. But it's something that, like, if I'm going to have to do in my future, I very easily could see that. But I want to stick it short the rest of my career.
That's awesome. You sound like a real student of the game. Noah Miller, thank you for taking the time to join us. Best of luck the rest of the season.
Thank you.
Had the chance to talk to Tucker Frawley. He's the infield coordinator for the Twins. Noah Miller mentioned him before. Here's what he had to say about Noah.
I would actually highlight something that I told Noah last week when I saw him and at another point in time during the summer. He's essentially the bar that I hold every other infielder in our organization to, because he seems to be consistently raising that bar, not only from himself, but what we ultimately feel is, you know, an above average elite shortstop. He's been nothing short of amazing for us ever since he got drafted. And as he's gotten older, as he's gotten more physical, as he's gotten more reps, he's just gotten cleaner and cleaner and better and better. So to be honest, he's a guy that we've left alone as much as we've provided him insight. And that's a credit to who he is as a worker and a competitor and what I can guess he's been able to maximize. So I can't say enough good things about the kid defensively.
Before we get to Nassim Nunez, I want to remind everyone the 18th annual Fielding Bible Awards for the Major Leagues will be announced in between the LCS and the World Series. We're looking forward to voting on those in a couple of weeks. You'll be able to find the results on our Twitter, SIS_baseball, and at sportsinfosolutions.com. Nassim Nunez is a shortstop prospect in the Marlins organization currently in AA. It's tough to have a positive defensive run save total as a minor league shortstop because we're grading players against major leaguers. We were just talking about this with Noah Miller, but Nas does. He's been very solid defensively at shortstop the last couple of years. He was also the MVP of this year's Futures game. Talk about that briefly. Hey, Nas, how's it going?
I'm all good. How you doing, Mark?
We're good. And the first thing I want to ask you about is, let's talk before you were pros for a second. 2019, you're the Rawlings Defensive Player of the Year. You carried a glove around wherever you went when you were a kid. I heard an interview on the Call Up podcast where as a five-year-old, you're hurting adults' hands with throws. So what was the best defensive play that you made prior to going pro?
Man, that's hard to choose from. I would say, though, one that sticks out was, I believe it was my freshman year before I even got to playing varsity baseball. It was like it was almost like the eighth grade, ninth grade, maybe 10th grade team, but it was a summer league and I was playing a shortstop and the catcher threw down and it was right off first and third. He threw down and he kind of made a bad throw and I got to the bag late as well, you know, but young, we're still learning. So what happened was I got to second and it was like a short hop and the runner left third base a little late, but I picked it, tagged the runner, like as I was spinning, turned around and also threw the runner out at home. So that was like one of the plays that I remember.
That would be a SportsCenter top 10, I think, if it happened in the major leagues. Now, right. I think my favorite part of that answer was there's a lot to choose from. Most people, they have a hard time remembering like one. Do you have like a bank of like 10 in your head of really great plays that you made when you were a kid?
I do.
You do? Yeah, give me one more then.
This one was more IQ play. I was 12 and I was playing with the Georgia Roadmakers and this kid, he's huge, big old boy, righty. And I remember playing shortstop. It was a runner on third, two outs, and it was like top of the seventh and we were home, up one or something like that. Maybe tie game. I believe it was a tie game because I think I had a walk-off hit. But anyways, back to the defense. I remember him pulling the ball throughout the game. So I kind of like really, really cheated. And I was almost in left field. I kind of played a big shift and threw him out from like maybe a couple feet from like the dirt. I was in the grass and got a hard line drive. Like it hit the edge of the dirt, like the back lip. And I caught it on a one hop and threw him out at first from like left field. And I was playing shortstop. So it's just like, when you're young, you know, you just do crazy things. I remember my coach being so excited, but he was like, hey, you know, I put you at shortstop, not left field, right?
Now, you've talked about a few different things here and the different types of plays and plays that are, I think, remarkably difficult for a lot of people to make. I'm curious, because I've been asking this of coaches lately. It's cool to ask it to a player, too. What does defensive excellence mean to you?
Consistency. You know, making the plays that need to be made and then those plays that are extended and the ones that people say other people can't make, those just happen. They happen on their own. But also, you got to work at it. Like, throughout this year, I realized hard-hit balls are not easy. It doesn't just happen. So I started a routine to help me be in a better position and slow the game down a little bit more.
What kind of routine?
Definitely, you know, just working on my picks. I get these foam balls and I have my coach stand maybe like 10 feet from me and hit me some rockets. And I try to slow it down. And sometimes they hit me. Sometimes I catch them. Sometimes they bounce up. But I know if I can handle those in a game where who knows exactly how far I am from the batter, but it's so much slower.
You strike me as someone, and just from listening to you here and in previous interviews, you take defense really seriously. And I'm curious where that kind of came from.
I always liked defense. Like, that was the first thing I believe I was naturally good at. So when you're younger and you're naturally good at something, you tend to do that a little bit more. So I would always have a glove, and that was just something I could do by myself as well. I couldn't really hit by myself. At least for what I could do when I was younger, I didn't have a batting cage I could go to all the time. I didn't have like a tee and a whole bunch of baseballs, but I had my glove and maybe 2-3 baseballs that I'd pick up from a field, and I would go in my front yard, and it was like these concrete stairs, and then I had my porch, and I would try to throw the ball at the concrete stairs and get certain high. And then sometimes I would miss and I tore up my porch. So my mom will like that I mentioned that in this podcast. So I had to fix it too when I got to throw ball.
Yikes. So I used to do the same thing, throwing a ball off a stoop at my grandmother's house. I can assure you that I missed a lot more than you did. Anyway.
Yes, I wouldn't put that. I missed quite.
All right, so we're telling you 48 hours after you made a play, and this is appropriate because it's the NFL first weekend of the season. You made an over-the-shoulder catch and then a throw to get a double play. You tweeted QB1 in response to the team tweeting the video about it. Can you walk us through that play? And just, we like to talk shop here. What went into it?
You know, it was funny. I was talking with my teammates about it, and I didn't even notice I did it until the play was over, but I kind of baited the catch. Like, that fly ball, I could have easily got around that ball and caught that like a regular fly ball, you know, but something in me was like, okay, this runner, how the game's going, I think we're up by 2, 6, 7th inning, they need to be on their toes. So if I kind of make this catch look a little bit harder than what it really should be, he might bite a little bit more. Like, he needs to be at second. And I got Mesa coming in. Mesa, if I drop this, they think Messi's going to get this out at second. So let me make this a little bit more difficult than it needs to be, but it's still an easy play. And thank God Messi's in my ear. Like, we communicate and we talk about lockdown, everything. Anything in the middle, we got to have the best communication. We need to work on that. So he was telling me, hey, like, he was low-key whispering. He wasn't screaming. It felt like a whisper. He was like, you got him at one. You got him at one. I was like, okay, good. And I just lost it.
Did you play QB at all?
No. I did.
No football?
I would just do the running back, and then whenever we do the trick plays, I would throw the football.
Nice. Now, I sent you one other one. It was like a dive, knockdown, throw a three-hop speed to first base. That was really cool. And I think the thing that was really neat about it was the fact that it was a three-hop throw, and you still had a lot of zip on it. Just we'll put these in the show notes. What do you remember about that one?
I remember it being sped up a little bit. I was working through something on defense, you know what happens, but Ronnie Simon hit me a rocket and I was working on staying through the ball. And that ball, I kind of stayed through it, but, you know, still working. So I was proud of myself for staying through that ball. And then that throw was just pure latching it to the ground, trying to get a hop. And it just so happened to be a three hop. Like, it's like skipping rocks in the water.
It did. It looked a lot like that. Three hops are pretty rare these days. Well, who were the guys that you like followed defensively growing up in terms of who you wanted to be major league-wise?
Man, my parents, we just talked about this. I used to make them. Anytime we'd be watching a Netflix movie or something and it would turn off, I'd automatically go to YouTube and throw an Andrelton Simmons highlight.
That makes sense.
Jose Reyes, Ozzie Smith, the videos that I could find.
Sure.
That was really it. Jose Reyes, Ozzie, and Andrelton, and Frankie Lindor as I got older.
There's the famous play that Ozzie Smith made behind the base where he's kind of like flying. Have you ever made one like that?
No.
It's like a ball up the middle where he's low and
where
the
he dove the and air. He caught it barehanded.
Yeah. You'll get there.
Whenever the game affords me an opportunity like that, I'll make it.
What are you working on defensively?
Slowing down the game.
Understanding my body, understanding how athletic I am. And some plays, I don't have to be like 110% or 100%. Some plays I can really like understand my runners, understand my arm strength, understand the speed of the ball and the direction of the ball and go according to that.
How do you use information when you play?
I understand the speed of the runner. That's one of the big ones. Before the ball even hits me, I need to know the speed of the runner, situations, you know, what inning is it? What's the score of the game? What do we really need here? And then speed of the ball will always let me know. And that goes with the runner and then which way the ball is going.
The other thing I noticed is that it feels to me like you know the name, and I reference this because I saw it in another interview that you did, you know the name of every guy you rot of a hit.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's cool, but like that's cool that you keep like mental notes on it. Now you had a youth baseball camp last November. I was reading about that, Collins Hill, Georgia, which is where you're from. What did you tell kids regarding how to play defense?
Man, I said have fun. You're young, have fun, learn, like mess up, make mistakes, and learn from those mistakes. But have fun. The camp was. It was really just a vibe, and that's what I plan on having every year, you know? But kids are going to take away great things from each person. Like, if they want to know something, they're going to ask, and they're going to get the answer, and sometimes they're not going to ask, and they're still going to get some. And they might not even notice it right then and there. They might notice it a little bit later down the road, but the biggest thing for that camp is to have fun. I remember being young and having fun. I don't remember a lot of fundamentals. I don't remember a lot of overthinking baseball. And I think that's something that's happening more now from social media or whatever it is. But here we're just trying to have fun, listen to some good music, have some rhythm behind the defense, like just enjoy.
Interesting that you said that, because Bianca Smith, when I talked to her, was talking about how she actually tries to have her players kind of warm up and uses music in practice because defense is all about rhythm. And I'm curious what your take is on that.
Yeah, everything is about rhythm as well as hitting, you know? I always thought it was the most fun when I had my headphones in and I got to take ground balls. Or even when I do my early work now, I bring a speaker. I'll be playing some LL Cool J, some NBA Youngboy, Migos, all that, you know, some slow song. Yeah, everything. It's just fun. It makes you feel like you're doing something fun, what you love to do. You can't make it boring. You can't make it too instructional. You become a robot. And my coach always used to call us that during practice. He'd be like, stop acting like a robot. Like JoJo Batten always used to call people robots. So they would be like, I'm doing this. Like, yeah, just field the ball and throw the ball. And the more you do it, the reps and consistency, you're going to find who you are.
And the other thing that you're really good at and that seems like you love doing is base stealing. Yeah. Just how has that developed for you?
Man, honestly, this year I kind of slowed down with base stealing a little bit. You know, I really want to focus more so on the best times to run, getting thrown out a little bit less, having a better percentage of base stealing. Because last year I just ran. And I still believe I could just run to run and be safe most of the time. But I want to know for when I get to the big leagues, like when I can steal, like what's a good time for me to steal? Which one am I going to be 100% safe? Which one is like a 60%, 70%, like, and when should I take that gamble? So stuff like that. I know I could run and be safe. I know it, but I want to learn something this year.
Now, you're not necessarily as known for your hitting, but you did have a game-winning hit in the Futures game. And the Futures game experience looked like it went pretty well for you. You got to meet Ken Griffey Jr. You got the game-winning hit as a pinch hitter. Just what was that like?
It was cool, you know, it's baseball. I literally said I just wanted to go out there and have some fun. And the dude threw me a first pitch two seam on the black. And I said, oh, I've seen this. I've seen this before. Then the next pitch was just a little bit close, but I was like, okay, I could touch this one. So this is baseball. Yeah. And it's, I believe that at Futures game, you are who you really are because of the adrenaline. It was so loud in that stadium, you can't even hear your own thoughts. And I believe that's the best baseball you can play.
Nassim Nunez ideally playing his best game. We hope to see him in the major league someday, certainly playing his best defense at this point. Thank you for joining us and best of luck.
Thank you for having me.
Bobby Scales, our VP of baseball, joins us. It was very cool to be joined by Noah Miller and Naz Nunez. And first things first, you know everyone who you robbed of a hit, right?
Oh, you better believe it. You better believe I know. These are things you don't forget. I've got two. In the big leagues in 09, Miguel Tejada was sitting on 1,999 career hits. We were in Houston, and he hit a ball up the middle off of Jose Escanio, I think it was. I think it was a two-seamer that ran in. He got to it, and I was shaded a little bit up the middle, but I got it. I think it was on two or three hops up the middle. Hit pretty hard, and I was in the outfield grass, and I made the Jeter play from second base, and I did a jump throw and got him out at first base. It's probably the best play I made in the big leagues. I made one in the outfield, I robbed Matt Holliday on an absolute scud missile he hit. It was over my head. All I had time to do was get on a little angle and 45 degrees and jump up and caught it right before I hit the ivy in Wrigley. And then I also got Jake Peavy, pitcher, but nonetheless, I had to dive. I was playing third base in San Diego one night, dove to my left and made the play, popped up, threw it the D. Lee at first base, and he had to reach out and scoop it. So that was a pick play that with D. Lee, if you just got it in the zip code, he was going to catch it. So he didn't worry about it.
Three stars. That's kind of cool that you remember all of those. And I'm sure Naz Nunez will remember every one that he makes throughout his career. One of the things that was really cool about that interview was that those two guys are from completely different parts of the country. They have a different kind of way that they go about it. They're both really, really good. And you hope that they both hit and make the major leagues. And I said that if we put them in a room together, they would immediately become baseball friends. What were some of your takeaways from just listening to the two of them?
Well, wow. You know, the thing that struck me about both of them, I think, and you accurately said this, they do it differently. They play shortstop, both at a high level, both excellent young defenders. And I would say the way that Naz talks about his defensive play, it's not that there's not technique involved. There's not that it's not technical, but the way that the vibe that he gives me and the stuff that I've seen on YouTube and in the different clips or whatever, he's a baseball artisan on defense. He's going to invent a way to make a play and get you out. Whereas Miller is a little bit more conventional. It's a little bit more by the book. And that's not a knock. That's just, I think in life, in business, in sports, regardless of what sport you're playing, you have to play your strengths, but also be yourself while doing so. And I think these guys do an excellent job of doing that and just doing it the way that they need to do it to be most efficient and also excel at their position.
Now, at least you had talked to him once before this, right?
Yes. Yeah, I don't pretend to know Nassim that well. We did a thing, I think it was a couple of years ago, it was during the pandemic, actually. Bill Matthews asked me to facilitate a discussion during one of the many Zoom calls we had during the pandemic to fill time with some of the youth development stuff. And it was great. Talked to Naz and a couple other young men. Hunter Green, I think, was on that call as well, if I'm not mistaken. So that was always fun. A little bit of preview experience with him.
One thing that Noah Miller brought up was not having data at the minor league level. And you actually think that that's a good thing.
Yeah, and certainly, Noah, you know, if you want to talk to your people at the Twins, we can certainly help you with that, getting more data at the minor league level. That is what we do. No, in all seriousness, no, I do think it's a good thing. I think the data has a place. It absolutely has a place. If you're not using data and you're not using feel, if you're not using your eyes, if you're not using everything at your disposal to get better at every level of the game, you're wrong. It's a mixture of everything. The data is a tool. The subjective analysis is a tool. Old school, new school, they're all tools. You have to get the most tools in your toolbox and figure out which one can make you better at a given juncture, if not all of them. That said, I do think it's really important for some players to be able to use their eyes to tell them what needs to happen in a given part of the game. And I know we're talking about Noah right now, but Naz talked about a situation where he knew the game time score and the game, the ending of the game, how many outs, what was going on in the situation and taking calculated risk. He was talking about running the bases, but again, when you don't have access to high level analytical data, that scoreboard and anything you've seen that happened before that action takes place in the game, that will tell you what you need to do during the game. It'll tell you if you're up a run with one out in the ninth, and it'll tell you how much appropriate, acceptable risk you need to take. It'll tell you the things. If there's a play, you got to go to your left and you have a chance to make a backhand flip or something like that, and you're up four or five runs with a couple outs left in the ninth, probably okay time to take a risk or what have you. But the point is, like, you have to learn those things, and you should learn those things in the minor leagues and build that I call it the library. The more books you can get in the library, the more experiences you can get in your library as a player, it's only going to help you as you go forward. Now, once you get to the big league level, or once you get to the upper levels of the minor leagues and you have more data at your fingertips, at your disposal, certainly you put those two things together and you come to the best solution. Where should I play this guy? Okay, we have this guy. He's slated to pull this ball, but our guy's throwing bullets at 98, 99 miles an hour, and this guy's been late all day. So that's where you use your acquired knowledge as a baseball player. I'm not going to say instincts. I don't like that word because it's not instincts. It's awareness. As babies, we instinctually breathe. No one had to teach us how to breathe. You don't instinctually know, I got to play this guy up the middle because he's late on all these fastballs. So that these guys are learning, they're adding to their library of experiences and their knowledge base. And when they get to the higher levels, it's only going to be enhanced by some of the numbers that they're able to receive.
Seam Nunez, solid in defensive run save this year. Noah Miller at the top of the charts. Top two guys this year at shortstop were Noah Miller and Christian Kos. This was really cool to have the chance to talk to them. They're in that phase right now, both of them, they're struggling to hit. Is that something that's going to get better with time? I mean, they're both, Miller especially is fairly young. Nas is a couple of years older. What's it going to take for them to get to the major leagues?
Well, they're going to have to hit. I mean, this is not a secret. These are things that they've probably known for their entire careers. They're young, developing players. I mean, no player is complete when he gets to the big league level, whether it be offensively or defensively. I mean, I had the privilege of watching Mike Trout in his first full rookie season, and the guy was, there was a noticeable huge hole at the top of the strike zone. You throw it up there three times, chances are he's going to swing and swing through it. Now, you lower that ball 2 or 3 inches, you're going to need another one, but there was a big hole there. And he worked diligently to close that hole up and become the megastar, the alien that he is as a player. That's not to say that, you know, these guys know that they have to improve offensively. The thing that's encouraging about both of them for me is I think they make really good swing decisions. You know, we look at some of the contact numbers, you look at some of the strikeout to walk numbers, especially for Nas. I mean, it's over 100 strikeouts, but there's 80 walks. So there's strike zone discipline. There's strike zone judgment there. That tells me that there's an opportunity for him to hit. And if it was a lot of strikeouts, if it was, you know, especially given there's not a lot of power at this point. If I saw a bunch of strikeouts, if I saw a bunch of swing and miss, if I saw a bunch of poor contact, I'd be a little bit more alarmed. I'm not when I see stuff like that. And I'm sure there's some other underlying numbers that kind of bear that out. And I think it's the same thing with Miller. He talked about his special ability to hit the baseball, to contact the baseball. I think the thing that Nas said it, he alluded to it in when he was talking about the Futures game, and he got that first pitch two-seamer. Oh, okay, I've seen that before. If he brings it a little closer, I can touch that. And that's exactly what happened. And Miller said the same thing. I don't have to swing at every strike. Every strike is not a pitch that I can impact. And that is a really key piece that young hitters, when they start to learn that, you will see a jump in their productivity, because I can take this two-seamer off the plate. Or as he said, I can take this 1-0 changeup I'm getting, and now I'm 1-1, ball sinks below the zone, I'm 1-1, and I'm going to look at this fastball in the middle, I'm going to smash it. And that's the mentality you have to have as you start to progress as a hitter. And you know, their gloves are going to give them opportunity in big leagues. What's going to be the separator for both of them is, are they going to be able to hit enough to stay? And what role is that going to put them in on a team? So they're going to play in the big leagues because they can defend. And run prevention is a massive piece of what run offices use now to construct their roster. The question is it going to be a defensive replacement bench guy? Is it going to be a bench guy to, you know, I say platoon or more regular player? Is it going to be more regular player to everyday player? Those are the different levels that you're going to experience. And for those two, the bat is going to drive what's going to happen there.
Bobby, is there anything else you wanted to say, particularly about Nas?
I don't know if these kids, I'm trying to think back to 22, 23. Was I that aware of what I was saying? And I don't think so. But not, I mean, was this?
He was very, like, sophisticated in just everything.
Like, the one thing I wanted to, like, talk about was just how, okay, he's at a tournament in high school or, like, in the eighth grade, and he was playing, he just moved over. on his own because he saw this guy pull the ball three or four times. And there's no business him being there, but he was there and they threw the guy out and they win the game. Like that's base, that's IQ, that's awareness. That's saying, okay, well, he's hit the ball here a bunch of times. I'm going to stand here because that's where he's hit it. Like that seems like a simple thing, but that's something that gets lost. Now, his coaches gave him the freedom to do that. And you'll see a lot of coaches like, no, do what I say, yada, yada, yada. No, his coaches just moved and they were okay with it. And it wasn't about them. And I know, like, again, like, you know, how he worked on his defense by himself at the steps of his house. He just beat up the steps of his house to the point where he had to fix them eventually. Like, that's awesome. You don't need anything. You need a ball and a wall and a ball and a set of steps and a ball and anything that can help you just make the ball come back to you to build that hand eye to catch the baseball. That's so good. Like, that's elite. And it's so simple. He didn't need an infield instructor. He didn't need to go to the batting. He didn't need to go to the cage. He didn't need anything else. He had a ball in his steps. And that's tremendous for me. I think that the fact that he knew who Ozzie Smith was, that's good parenting. Nice parents. Nice job. Mom and dad, Tina and Miguel, good job. You exposed your kids to things that happened before them. And that's wonderful. Good parenting there. And then we talked about keeping a book on guys you get. Like, you always do that. Facts. Like, you're going to keep your book on that. I don't know. It was really good. This was a really refreshing interview. Both of them were very good. They were very different. I thought it was great.
Bobby Scales, VP of Baseball at Sports Info Solutions. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Always a pleasure, Mark.
Thank you for listening to this episode. You can follow us on social media at SIS_baseball and SportsInfo_SIS. Find our content at SportsInfoSolutions.com. And you can listen to our football podcast, Off the Charts, wherever you get your podcasts. Special thanks to our guests, Noah Miller, Nassim Nunez, Bobby Scales, and our producer, Justin Stein. I'm Mark Simon. Thank you for listening to the Sports Info Solutions Baseball Podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to the SIS Baseball Podcast. If you like the show, please rate and review us on iTunes. If you have any questions, email the show at mark@sportsinfosolutions.com or tweet us at sportsinfo_SIS.